Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Good morning, church. I want to thank all of you who have taken time to be here on this holy day. The holy day we call Good Friday. The question quickly arises in our minds, why do we call this day good when it was filled with lies, corruption, cruelty, jealousy, abuse, violence, and torture beyond compare? How can this be good? It is good when we understand that there had to be a Friday before there could be a Sunday. Resurrection Sunday. In society, sin or crime require justice. Someone must be held accountable for the crime. Lawmakers and lawkeepers seek to find the person who must take the responsibility, the person who will be punished for the sin, for the crime. We don't shrug it off and just let it go. The guilty party is pursued and brought to justice, held accountable for the wrongs that they have committed. God, our loving Father, chose his only Son to take our sin, not just our sin, but the sin of the world, and place it upon his Son, Jesus. Jesus, the one who had no sin, the sinless one who bore all of our transgressions and sins upon his own shoulders. In God's law, the punishment for sin is death. But God provided a way to conquer sin and death, and he did it through the birth, life, death, and resurrection of his only Son. Good Friday has a funeral feeling as we come together to remember the great sacrifice that Jesus paid on the cross for our sin. So, as in many funeral services, I would like to read to you an obituary for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, 33, of Nazareth, died Friday on Mount Calvary, also known as Golgotha, the place of the skull. Betrayed by the apostle Judas, Jesus was crucified by the Romans by order of the ruler Pontius Pilate. The cause of death was crucifixion. Jesus Christ, a descendant of Abraham, was a member of the house of David. He was born to a virgin mother named Mary. His earthly father was the late Joseph, a carpenter of Nazareth. Jesus was born in a stable in the city of Bethlehem, Judea. He is survived by his mother Mary, his faithful apostles, numerous disciples, and many other followers. Jesus was self-educated and spent most of his adult life serving as a teacher. Jesus occasionally worked as a medical doctor of sorts. It is reported that he healed all who came to him. Up until the time of his death, Jesus was teaching and sharing the good news, healing the sick, blessing the lonely, feeding the hungry, and helping the poor. Jesus was noted for telling parables about his Father's kingdom and performing miracles such as feeding over 5,000 people with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and healing the blind, the deaf, the paralyzed, and even raising the dead. On the day before his death, he held the Last Supper in an upper room, celebrating the Passover feast at which he foretold his death. He was buried in a stone grave, which was donated by Joseph of Arimathea, a loyal friend of the family, by order of Pontius Pilate. A boulder was rolled in front of the tomb. Roman soldiers were put on guard. In lieu of flowers, the family has requested that everyone try to live as Jesus did. Donations may be sent to anyone in need, and their surviving family and friends encourage everyone to attend a worship service on Resurrection Sunday to hear the rest of the story. But until Sunday, let's spend some time in reflection and remembrance of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our King. Each of us are drawn here today for our own reasons. Each of us remembering different times and places where Jesus has met us, forgiven us, healed us, spoken to us, lifted us, carried us, and sustained us. Today is a somber day as we recall all that Jesus endured for our sake. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our King. Not a worldly King, but the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We scarcely have words to speak. The cross is before us, and your words ring in our ears with your warning of what was coming. And we want to cry out with Peter, even if everyone else deserts you, we will never desert you. Even if we have to die with you, we will never deny you. Yet we know that denial can dwell within us. We know that if we desert you, if we deny you, you will turn and look on us with love. So today, Lord, in this place, we sit silently before you, remembering the price you paid for us, remembering you owe us nothing, yet you paid it all, knowing that we are not worthy, but you have made us worthy, knowing there is no way to pay you back for your great sacrifice. We acknowledge today that we are sinners in need of a Savior, and we are so grateful that we know that it is you, Jesus. And that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness, declaring us cleansed and forgiven. In our quiet, humble state today, collectively we say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for it all. Amen. 2 Sundays ago, we made the pilgrimage to Jerusalem with the saints of old. We cried out with them, you will not let us stumble. The one who watches over us will not sleep. We acknowledge with them that the Lord himself watches over us. The Lord stands beside us as our protective shade. The sun will not harm us by day nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps us from all harm and watches over our lives. The Lord keeps watch over us as we come and go both now and forever. Our hearts are filled with gratitude for all that has been given, even as we are so undeserving, only because of Jesus. On Palm Sunday, our hearts were filled with joy and maybe even pride. We know this King Jesus who rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. Not even a donkey, but on the colt of a donkey. This Jesus who was surrounded by worshipers, who spread their garments on the road ahead and cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus is in the center of the procession, and the people all around him are shouting, praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in highest heaven. And it appears that they know, that they understand who he is and why he has come. And our voices join in excitement with theirs. And yet too soon, these people who would cry out not the name of Jesus, but the name of Barabbas. Release Barabbas, the revolutionary. And Pilate asks, then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah? And the crowd so easily, so swiftly, so effortlessly forgetting all that he has said, all that he has done, the healings, the teachings, the kindness, the perfect love, they shout back, crucify him! Crucify him! Oh, we walk with the disciples to the olive grove called Gethsemane. On the way, Jesus' words surprise us, all of you will desert me. For the scriptures say God will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. And we wonder at his words and we think, not I, Lord Jesus, not I. We sit while Jesus distances himself from us to pray. He takes Peter, James, and John a little further on with him. And he is filled with anguish and distress, knowing what lies ahead of him. He says to his closest friends, oh, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Jesus goes on a little farther and bows with his face to the ground. And he prays, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. Perfect surrender, oh, that it could be ours. And our cry in our deepest anguish will be, I want your will to be done, not my will, your will. 3 times he prays, and he returns to find his friends not watching as he is asked, but sleeping. In this, his hour of deepest need, does he respond in anger or even disappointment? No, he responds, go ahead and sleep. Have your rest. But look, the time has come. The Son of Man has been betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here. And Jesus has the answer to his prayer. We see now the answer is not always yes. With feelings of sorrow, we stand in Gethsemane, where Judas, one of Jesus' own, betrays him with a kiss. And when the soldiers grab Jesus to arrest him, Peter chops off the ear of Malchus, the high priest's slave. And Jesus said, no more of this, and touches the man's ear and heals him as though nothing unusual has happened. And he says to the leading priests, the captains of the temple guard, and to the elders who have come for him, this is your moment, the time when the power of darkness reigns. What words ring in their ears in the years to come to know that they have ushered in the reign of darkness. As Jesus, the sinless, perfect Son of God, is arrested, all of his disciples desert him and flee from what is coming, just as he said they would, except for Peter. Peter follows at a distance. While Jesus is being interrogated by the high priest and the entire council, Peter warms himself by the fire in the courtyard. The high priest accuses Jesus of blasphemy and asks the crowd, what is your verdict? And they cry, guilty. He deserves to die. And they spit in his face, and they beat him with their fists, and they slap him, jeering, they demand, prophesy to us, you Messiah, who hit you that time? Meanwhile, in the courtyard, Peter denies that he knows just this Jesus, and the rooster crows, and Peter weeps. And we know and we understand that we too are capable of denying Jesus to save ourselves. The leading priests and elders of the people continued to meet and lay plans for putting Jesus to death. They bind him and they lead him away to come before the Roman governor Pilate. When Judas the betrayer realizes that Jesus has been condemned to die, he throws the 30 pieces of silver that he was paid for his treachery into the temple at the feet of the priests and the elders. He confesses his sin and he hangs himself. He has betrayed the one who loved him, even as his love for money overpowered his love for his Lord. O God, keep us from ever loving anything more than we love you. Pilate's wife has had a dream, and she tells her husband, leave that innocent man alone. I suffered through a terrible nightmare about him last night. Pilate sends for a bowl of water and washes his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood." He ordered Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip and then turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him and wove branches into a crown and put it on his head and placed a reed stick in his hand as a scepter and knelt before him in mockery and taunted, "Hail the King of the Jews." They spit on him and grabbed the stick and struck him on the head. And when they were finally tired of mocking him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes back on him again and led him away to be crucified. Do we wonder at the heart of man? Are we shocked at how evil, how cold, how ruthless, and how uncaring human beings can be? Do we wonder at the love of God, who loves those who are capable of such evil, who would condemn his son to die for the likes of these, for the likes of us? Who would say, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do"? Jesus does. Jesus is forced to carry his own cross, the implement of his own death. He struggles under the weight of it, falling beaten and exhausted on the way to Golgotha, helped by Simon of Cyrene, an innocent passerby, swept into the wickedness as evil made its way to Golgotha, the place of the skull. Imagine a heart so hard to see someone suffer so and not be moved, to drive nails into his innocent hands and feet and gamble for his clothes, his only earthly possessions, as the people who pass by shout abuse and mock the one who came to save them. As he hangs on the cross, the priests and elders scoff. "He saved others, but he can't save himself. So is he the King of Israel? Is he? Let him come down from the cross right now and we'll believe him. He trusted God, so let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Even the criminals who were crucified with Jesus ridiculed him. Jesus is most truly alone as anyone in the world could ever be. Alone. So alone, absent for the first time even from his Father's love, that his cry rings out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" What hell he had to endure for us. Yet God's will be done. Had he changed his mind, legions of angels could have come and rescued him at one word, but God's will be done. That he would die in our place with our sin upon him, breaking him down unto death so that we might live. Jesus shouted out again and he released his spirit, and at that moment the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. The Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. And finally truth escapes their lips as they breathe, "This man truly is the Son of God." And many women who come from Galilee with Jesus to care for him were watching from a distance. And we too are transported there every Good Friday to watch and to wait. As evening approaches, a rich man, Joseph of Arimathea, who had become a follower of Jesus, he took a risk. And with Nicodemus, a Pharisee who had become a secret follower of Jesus, went to Pilate, and they asked for the body. These are not words to pass over lightly. We must put ourselves with Joseph and Nicodemus as the chill of the oncoming night, taking down the body of our beloved Savior from the cross, to take the nails from his hands and his feet, and to wrap his body beaten beyond recognition and a long sheet of clean linen cloth. While tears no doubt ran down their cheeks in horror of it all broken dreams and questions and hearts full of grief, have we too wondered at times what has happened to our Savior? Where is our King? Has he left us here with no plan for the future? Is he really who he said he was? What now, they think, as they place the body in the tomb. Each Good Friday, we ask, what now? What now, my God? In the darkness of the hour, in the dark days that will be part of our lives, when our prayers seem weak and ineffective, when we wonder, what now? We set our eyes upon Sunday and we wait, clinging to the words that he taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God bless.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.